What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. How much can the bulls get back after the worst day for the Dow in almost a year? Worse for the Russell in almost two. Yields are lower today. 10-year still above 4.3, though, in Cisco earnings tonight. Our roadmap begins with stocks seeking a rebound after that drop. Investors now pushing back rate cut expectations until June.
Plus, shares of Uber and Lyft are both rallying ahead of the open. Lyft says it expects to post positive free cash flow for the first time this year. Uber authorizes a $7 billion stock repurchase. As I said, both are up. Airbnb shares also on the move. CEO Brian Chesky saying the company plans to expand beyond its core service with the help of AI.
Let's begin with the markets. As we said, the Dow coming off the worst day since last March. S&P not as much going back to January, but obviously, Jim, some call it. In fact, it was the former president of the Boston Fed today said it was an overreaction.
Well, look, I don't know if it's an overreaction. We've been up just nonstop since the beginning of November. And I think a lot of people just said, well, wait a second. We've got things like ARM, which are just too crazy, where you've got a short squeeze. It's too much like GameStop. ARM became GameStop. One company is a growth stock and one is kaput. I find that there is a level of enthusiasm that went too far. And I'm not saying everything's going to be Tesla, but Tesla's tended to be like what can happen, which is you get too far and then the future's just okay. We'll see what happens with Airbnb. Do you really buy Uber for a buyback? I mean, don't you buy Uber for growth? Yes, you can add a zero to Lyft and suddenly have a huge number, but then it comes back down. But it's kind of indicative of what I see. I had Harley Finkelstein on last night, Shopify, one of the great growth stories of all time, and the stock gets hammered. Datadog, there's mixed, terrific quarter mix. So what I'm leading up to is the idea that, look, things are good, but can we just keep paying higher in an environment where interest rates are not going to, where the Fed's not going to cut? And the answer is that it's a little more problematic to keep paying higher for the same earnings and the same sales when, David, what happens is we don't get a cut.
Right. Although the same earnings and the same sales, I mean, people are willing to pay more still for growing significantly higher earnings
growing,
and sales.
But more, it has and, to be more than expected.
Right. Which it has been for many of the companies that we cover closely, and certainly the biggest
48 hours.
I mean, mixed picture for the Mag 7, but at least a few of them have been.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, the last 48 hours, you've had a bunch of companies that everybody loves, and they did the number, and they didn't raise. I mean, you know, look at Cadence upgraded today. Cadence, by the way, is maybe the most dovetail partner to NVIDIA, and they did not raise. You have a second dovetailer in the data center in Arista, and they did not raise.
Was that expected that they would raise
guidance? Yes, absolutely.
So there was an expectation they would raise guidance. Neither of those companies did. Haven't
correct.
Seen their, what
people,
they're going to be, what their opens look like.
A lot
like
of people feel that they've slowed and that there's this air pocket. And I've got to tell you that both Cadence and geez, Arista did say, be aware that there might be this kind of overhang where a lot of stuff was bought.
Look at that chart.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Do you want to come in now and just say, you know what, I am so early to Arista Networks, I got to pull the trigger? Does that look like early? That does not look like early.
No, may not be. I would have no idea.
Ooh. No, you would.
Wow, look at that. Even 3 years. Pretty nice.
Well, this is what the fourth best performer since the S&P went from 4,000 to 5,000. So you've got these stocks that are priced for beat and raise, and instead you get beaten kind of, well, let's wait for a raise.
So
that's not good enough.
Are you eyeing the NVIDIA quarter with caution?
Oh, geez, there was a note today. Now, guys, been not that great, but there was, we did have a note saying, listen, NVIDIA could just do the number plus only a billion. And so I hear that and I say, oh, Jensen Huang, does he really have to do $2 billion to consider? Well, then he, I mean, I think that NVIDIA is going to have a very big long-term run. I just think that it's possible that you could have an NVIDIA that it was like the July to December NVIDIA of last year, when we forget, where I would get stopped on the street and said, thanks for nothing, NVIDIA.
Right.
Like, why did you name your dog NVIDIA? I said, well, I named my dog NVIDIA when the stock was 50. I mean, like, you know, he answered NVIDIA in the end when I told him, when he had a piece of steak in his hand, in my hands. That thing just jumped when I said NVIDIA.
So is it your sense that expectations just continue to ratchet up for NVIDIA, making it very difficult for it to hit
yeah,
a high enough bar to send the stock even higher from here?
I think that when you look at what Mark Zuckerberg's doing, he's buying all the NVIDIA you can get. Everyone's buying all the NVIDIA you can get. But there, here's an issue. Maybe you can't make as many H200s as you want to. And if you can't, then maybe they can't sell them. I don't know. I think that...
Really? You don't think they can sell them? Come on.
No, I'm saying you can't sell something you don't have.
Right.
I mean, these... Look, maybe these are... You consider it and say, well, look, we can come out and say, our order book is filled. But maybe you get a dynamic which is led by, say, a Frank Slootman, right, who is saying,
Snowflake.
Snowflake, we have a lot of people who are really questioning why they should pay so much for these when we don't really know the why they need them. And then you had an amazing call last night. The stock will be down. I don't think it should be. Brian Chesky on Airbnb, basically just throwing cold water on what people think is AI. You know, saying it's basically a modified Google search.
Well, this ties in with the journal piece about Copilot yesterday. This piece in the Information, Jim, with the CEO of Databricks, suggesting that the price of GPUs will plummet in the next year because, like internet broadband constraints in the early 2000s, they loosened up in a hurry.
Well, I just don't know how that can be true, because when you talk to the people in the bowels of NVIDIA, or with Lisa Su and the AMD people, the demand from whole countries is too high. I mean, you know, Jensen did this tour. All sorts
right.
of
well,
countries.
We made the point yesterday that there is potentially going to be significant demand from sovereigns,
right.
from countries.
So how do you decide
because
that
they want to develop their own AI strategy, so to speak? And he was, again, as we pointed out, in the UAE and touring the region.
Do you think he was in sell mode, or do you think he was in explain mode?
Well, I think he can be in both, maybe, right?
Well, Jensen is a master salesperson.
First I'll explain, and then you'll want. And so there is the possibility. And we talked to Stacey Raxton yesterday from Bernstein, who's the hacks and sort of the chips and a lot of them, saying, yeah, it's very possible there will be more demand from sovereigns. That's not built into a lot of models.
Well, I look at what Jayshree Ullal and the amazing Arista Quarter is talking about, the M&Ms.
Delicious.
Made in Microsoft.
Ah.
But it is Valentine's Day candy. I did not buy my wife a bag of M&Ms for Valentine's Day.
How about a Baconator? Are you going to buy her that, maybe?
I hadn't thought about that.
You might
That's
want
something
it.
That shows love.
It does.
Yes, right? Tonnage of love. I just find that the number of companies that want NVIDIA and accounting NVIDIA would mean it so that that's just sensational. That's self-motivated. You want it to plunge. Why would you let it plunge? You can go on Google. You can see how much these things cost.
By the way.
What?
Look at the bottom there. Look what's moving again.
Well, we know they, David, that's an arm. That's a shortage caused by people selling calls. Hey, thank you, Redburn, for explaining why
it's squeezed. Yes, Redburn did a nice job.
Wasn't that a nice piece?
They did a nice job of explaining the short squeeze
yes,
that
they
we
did.
Said it was.
Redburn being
a little
research firm.
Yes. And pointing out 104% for trading days. And by the way, just think about the estimates in terms of where the stock is now based on its valuation. 64 times enterprise value over EBIT.
Right.
That is an 80% premium to Cadence.
Which is the... it's very funny because Cadence is one of the best performers the last 10 and 15 years. I do find, Carl, that everyone wants to find the next NVIDIA. I would say wait till next week and you're going to get NVIDIA all you want. There's your chance.
Hmm. There is a nice little upgrade of HP today, Jim, basically rhyming exactly with your thesis the last few months that the refresh cycle from things we might have bought during COVID in the way of PCs, then the new generation of AI-capable PCs is going to drive what is the second biggest PC seller.
You're going to see AI for consumers. By the way, I think that before we trash suddenly Copa, that's going to be AI for the consumers. Now, if Chesky's right from Airbnb, all it is like, hey, tell me what hotel I should stay at, which he's saying that's not sophisticated enough, and that would show you that AI is not what we think. I don't know.
Do you use it regularly yet in your daily?
I have used it for summations.
But you don't use it that. Do you use it every day?
Do I use it every day? No, I don't.
Yeah,
I use it when I'm stumped. And I use it for guests where I just say, oh, shoot, I got this guest on. I got to find out whether I'm missing something. I use it to double check. I don't use it to create. I use it to say, all right, am I off base? Now, fortunately, we don't have to interview politicians. But anytime I've interviewed someone where there's a political angle, I go right to it and say, I need five questions about the politics and the CEO of X. Mm-hmm. Because I want neutral questions. And so far, I think that AI does not really have a bias.
Still, it's something you wouldn't have done a year ago.
Oh, no, not at all. I would have said, oh, my God, I got to go look at I got to Google five articles and 10
sure.
this. And no, I just go and I say, okay, what does Jim Farley think about, I don't know, what's going to happen in the future with the Cybertruck?
Yeah.
And then overlay that with the credits. And are the credits going to continue? And then overlay that with China tariff and give me what people are saying, you know, that kind of thing. Is that all right? I mean,
yeah, that's fine. I'm just curious as to how you're using it during your day.
Well, how bad is craft?
Our own work habits are going to change over time. For me, it's not, you know, until it's really readily, easily accessible.
Right.
As you say, via my PC, perhaps, where I just speak to it and it tells me what I want.
All right, I'll go a step further. Until my daughters tell me how to use it better. My daughter uses this Adobe.
It's usually how it works.
Yeah, the subscription Adobe, there isn't anything that really she doesn't send to me.
It used to be about setting the clock on your VCR. Now it's
yes.
This.
Yeah, how do you program my VCR? But when I go to my daughter for what she's doing with Adobe, I think it looks like, you know, Broadway show, what they used to do with the marquee.
Yes.
I don't know. David, what does Jonathan say? Oh, I'm not allowed to mention kids' names.
No.
I'm sorry. Robert say?
What's his name?
That's Kevin say? I don't know.
That's fine. Making a quick internet search, most likely. Yeah. They'll probably have a social security number in 5 seconds.
Yeah. When we come back, we will hit the rally in the ride-sharing companies, but that major earnings release with Lyft last night sent those shares on a wild ride. Hanging on to gains, though, we'll take a look. Take a look at the futures as well. Not a lot of data today, but Goolsby in about 15 minutes, and then Barr after the bell. Back in a moment.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
It's a terrible thing. It is an extra zero that slipped into a press release. And, you know, thank goodness we caught it pretty fast and we issued an immediate correction.
That's Lyft CEO David Risher on Squawk this morning talking about that company's earnings release error last night. Initially said the stock soaring more than 60% in after hours trading, Jim. It was about margin growth, 50 basis points this year, not 500.
Yeah, I think that this will be SEC investigation. I'm trying to figure out whether there was anybody who may have been involved in some sort of chicanery, which I don't think is the case. And then you'll take a look at all the people who bought it during that period. They got a decent lawsuit, even though it was after hours. All that said, it's a shame. It was a real good quarter.
Bookings up.
It's real good.
Yeah, bookings up 17, not as much as Uber's, but still revenue up, positive free cash flow this year.
Richard came on Mad Money He's a delight, by the way. And just, you know, he's taught more people to read than anybody. He spent years after Amazon just working on literacy in Africa. I mention that only because sometimes there's a little bit of a context you got to put for a guy. But he did a Connect Women initiative, which worked. And he's doing an airport initiative for On Time, which has been terrific. David, I think that the ultimate takeaway is when you look at Lyft and you look at the buyback, you know, from Uber, what you can say is this is still one of the great growth thrusts.
Overall growth.
Ride shares.
Yeah, I mean, Lyft, better than expected take rates in the fourth quarter, marketplace efficiencies. I'm reading here from an upgrade to neutral at Moffitt Nathanson, which got it wrong.
Yeah, but they said in the first sentence they got it wrong.
Yeah, they did. High margin revenue stream in the fourth quarter, exceeded revenue for the entirety of 22. And demonstrated better than expected cost discipline. Speaking of cost discipline, of course, Uber has been sort of buying into that whole year of efficiency.
Uber's terrific.
We've told you about the $7 billion buyback. They had an investor day ongoing today. A lot of different metrics introduced, but you know, a lot of the main ones are, as you might have anticipated, in terms of free cash flow conversion, staying right or perhaps being as high as some would, the bulls would say 90% of adjusted EBITDA growth, 30 to 40%. And the stock also reacting quite positively, in part to that buyback, first ever from the company at this point. Continued growth, continued focus on cost.
Right.
And not to mention what generative AI is going to mean for them at some point down the road.
Oh, sure. By the way, let's go back to the Airbnb. Same thing, a gigantic buyback. You know, Carl, we never bought these stocks for buybacks. We bought them for growth. I wonder whether there won't be a cohort which just says, do you mean to say that the best thing you could do is buy back stock? Aren't you visionaries?
Well, it's being framed as you get back to operating profit, a positive upper net, positive free cash flow, then you start capital returns.
Yeah, that's true. And that's what Meta is doing, big buyback. And by the way, NVIDIA's got a buyback. I just think that when I look at what Airbnb wants to do with its platform, I would think it costs more than they're saying. They can become the ultimate destination platform. When I think at Lyft, I would like Lyft to be doing more than just doing ride share. Now they're going to be cash flow positive. And then, of course, with when you talk about Uber, I mean, I want Uber to become, you know, to wipe out Instacart, David. Well, wipe out Instacart.
Uber is the giant. I mean,
they are.
I mean, come on. Lyft, and you can't even compare the two, really.
No, but
in any way. When you're talking about a company, again, the bulls would say could do as much as, what, $9 billion of free cash flow by 2026.
So therefore it's worth it because they do have an
asset-light model. But you throw a multiple on $9 billion of free cash flow 2 years from now, discount that back, you still get to a pretty decent price.
No,
right?
You're right. I'm just saying the old days is what we know. The year of efficiency changed everything.
Yeah.
When Zuckerberg, okay, let's just put our cards on the table.
It was
Zuckerberg is cool.
It was. By the way,
is it the hair?
We'll talk about the whole.
Oh come on, he's
Vision
so cool.
Pro.
Review. You want to be his pal now? You're going to go down there and do one of those Musk interviews next year. Are you working on a Musk interview with Zuckerberg right now? Just tell me.
What?
Are you working on a Musk interview or Zuckerberg? A Princess Bride interview?
Oh, I've got them all going. All very close. I'm a text away from nailing both of them down.
Together. Carl, I knew it.
Together.
He works. You know when he's not, you know, that 11 o'clock that you do?
Yeah, the best show of the day.
He's a booking magician.
When we come back, we'll get Kramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell. A lot to get to. Kraft Heinz, Hood, got some news on Disney, Walmart calls on Ulta and Citi. In a minute.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
We have 7 minutes before we get to the opening bell here at the New York Stock Exchange on what Jim and I still like to call hump day. Yep. Time for a mad dash. Robinhood, we hadn't gotten to.
Hey, listen, Friar Tuck. This was actually a pretty good quarter. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why. One, they actually have a trading group of people. Now, David, if you're a trading group person, you're not going to earn that much on your account. So you're not getting that 4 to 5% that some of these other brokers have to give. And that even Schwab, which is a company doing, I think, doing much better than people realize. But these guys have trading balances that they make a lot of money off their customers. At the same time, crypto is 20% and options is 60%. That is, in the new world, what young people do. So they've got a young bias. They have a couple new products that work. They've got a gold subscription that people like that is a little, gives you a little more more things for your money. David, I like the quarter.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that there are younger people coming in and not just buying ETFs, which just say, listen, you don't know how the hell to pick stocks, so why don't you let us pick stocks? We have an ETF that is good for shovels.
But is it any different, what the young people are doing, than what they're doing on FanDuel? Or any of the other betting platforms?
No, it's more like DraftKings.
Okay.
Where it's daily fantasy for stocks.
Right.
And if you play Kelce, you make no money at all. But if you play Hardman, that's like a call on arm. You're so right. I may have to do that piece. Which is better, putting the money on Hardman? He's the guy who won, by the way.
Or
do you put the money on options on, I don't know, let's say Tesla?
Right.
So the answer is yes, you're dead right.
All right, well, maybe they'll, who knows?
By the way, Jason Robbins runs a darn good brokerage.
I bet he
does. And how much does he make on that money that you've got in your account?
That's a good point as well. All right, we got 5 minutes till the opening bell, and don't forget, you can always catch us anytime and anywhere. Listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast.
All right, guys. So I finally tried Apple's Vision Pro. And, you know, I have to say that before this, I expected that Quest would be the better value for most people since it's really good and it's like 7 times less expensive. But after using it, I don't just think that Quest is the better value. I think that Quest is the better product, period.
At Zuckerberg, reviewing the Vision Pro Gym. It's all fair game to do your review, even if you have a competing product.
He actually had some things that were good to say. He didn't trash it. I think he was ironic about it. I think that, David, he was kind of playful. But his most important thing that he said was he buried the lead. You can't get the Ray-Bans. Shortage.
Right. There's also the Ray-Bans. He was being filmed, not with the Ray-Bans, but with
who was
wearing the full set, which is lighter. And if you watch the entire video, he obviously says that he thinks it outperforms the Vision Pro in many different areas. I did find Zuckerberg here so much more natural than I'm accustomed to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe put a few plants behind him and we really got it there.
But, you know, he has this robotic way oftentimes of speaking, but not now.
He's been freed.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Like a normal person.
That is Zuckerberg. That's him.
I think it was effective. People will watch it, and it was interesting to listen to.
I mean, dare I say, Carl, that there was enough, I'd say, sardonic, but not cynical attitude that made it fun to watch.
Do you agree that the Vision Pro is not as good?
I happen to love the Vision Pro.
Yeah.
I think that the Meta Quest is very good. Here's what I look at. I would say that, you know, my kids work, and, you know, my kids aren't rolling in it, that it's a Toyota, and I think that the Vision Pro is maybe a Lamborghini, not necessarily a Lexus.
Yes.
You lower the price so it's not a Lamborghini, and I think you get more buyers. Although I had a hard time trying to get an appointment this weekend to try the Vision Pro.
When are you getting yours? Sorry.
Now I have to delay it because I have to find time. I'll probably get it on Friday.
And what about the Meta?
Have it.
You have it?
Yeah.
What do you have?
The Meta, the 3.
You do?
Quest 3, yeah.
Okay.
My kids like it, you know.
And
good.
Okay, so you'll be able to give us your own product review.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, remember that my one daughter has the glasses, one daughter has the 3,
headset.
And they're, I got gamer, you know, the gamer daughter has the 3. I mean, games are interesting and exercise, she does yoga, and, you know, that's, you know, her kind of, that's her milieu. And my other daughter is a baker, but she loves Instagram, Carl, and she just says, look, it's a great dovetail with Instagram, it really is.
We'll keep an eye on it. Obviously, exciting times in hardware. By the way, at the opening bell, here at the big board, it's New York Cares. At the NASDAQ, it's Fibrobiologic celebrating a recent direct listing. Back within 15 points, Jim, of S&P 5K. Today, Wells comes out and says, you know, the interesting thing about yesterday was the pop in the VIX, and that history would suggest, given that expected, in their view, first half volatility kick, maybe you're due for an overall 5% slide.
Well, I think that what happened yesterday, you had everything go down, and now we're going to start looking at things that are attractive. Interest rates are behaving today. What I don't want to see is that the money gravitate toward oil and gas, because that's been creeping up, and there's some very good stories there. So I would hope that the rally does not just concentrate there. I want to see the financials. Financials were really tagged yesterday. And so I'm a little worried about that group. Less than a, you know, techs had a big run. Financials were really kind of nascent, positive.
We are on the lookout for a lot of post-CPI Fed speak. We mentioned Goolsbee out a few moments ago. Let's get to Steve Leisman. Hey, Steve.
Hey, yeah, Chicago Fed President Austin Goolsbee. In remarks being given right now, is saying that the Fed should not wait until inflation is at 2% over a one-year period in order to cut rates. He says you have to have confidence, but he can have that confidence without the one-year annualized rate being at 2%. Higher inflation, he says, for a few months is still, he says, consistent with being on the path back to a 2% target. Again, Goolsbee being the first Fed official to comment since that hotter than expected CPI yesterday. And he says the decline in housing inflation, remember it went up yesterday, is, quote, not as fast as expected. But the CPI housing data is at odds with the market data, which we've been talking about. And he says he's watching that difference there. He says it's important not to judge a trend from a single one month's number. And the CPI and the PCE, which is the one the Fed follows most closely, can sometimes differ significantly. Just a couple more comments here. He says the current policy stance is quite restrictive and that real rates, or the inflation adjusted rate, is, quote, as high as it has been in decades. If you're not getting the point here, Goolsbee seems to suggest the Fed ought to be moving soon. He says maintaining the current funds rate will create concern about the employment side of the mandate. Two more things. He says productivity has rebounded and could have profound implications for the economy, and he also sees inflation expectations as anchored. Carl?
Steve, thanks for that. And we're not done, by the way, for Fed speak for the week, Jim. Waller tomorrow, it's going to be interesting because he was in some ways the tip of the spear for rate cuts.
Right. Look, I think that I heard for the first time today someone on air say, look, if anything, you need a rate hike. And we need some clarification from people just saying, yes, we're still on the course, which says we're watching more for a slowdown. I don't think any of these numbers, I asterisk the renters by talking about the migrants and the governments being able to rent all over the country. Governments are renting because of the huge influx, 8 million people. But I care about unemployment. And if unemployment were to go to 4, if we see some big bankruptcies, there are a couple of retailers that I want to mention that are indeed teetering and have liquidity problems. You'll start reading about those layoffs. Without layoffs, I think that we're just on hold, and I don't care what these guys say.
Are you willing to, at this point, to guess if we retest 4.5, let's say?
Only if we have just a gigantic failed auction. We got our guy Josh Frost in there.
Yep. Who you've been a
auctions.
Fan of.
Oh, yeah, that guy's fantastic. I mean, he's a hero of mine because he actually decides, he speaks to 100 bankers, and he realizes where the demand is as opposed to just saying, all right, here we go. Let's do some $30 billion of the 10-year. David, we have pros in Treasury who are trying to make this so that interest rates don't spike. And they have more to do with it than the rent figure in the CPI.
Well, it's not an unimportant position that gentleman has.
Yes.
Because we have been very focused on those auctions for obvious reasons. And they can be dislocating for the market.
I once asked Bob Rubin about the auctions when he was running Treasury.
Yeah.
And his answer was very interesting. He said, it's not anything we should ever gain.
Yeah.
You want to say, look, this is how we do it. We're going to look and see how much we can make the most money for Treasury, and we're going to do that. We're not look out there trying to figure out how to not hurt the market.
Yep.
As if that I was basically being meretricious and rapacious as opposed to being prudent.
Understood. Do you see that story yesterday? Walmart maybe buying this.
Oh,
Vizio?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because to me it said that if I were people running Roku right today, I'd be running scared.
Well, Roku did react to it yesterday. Yeah. Today, Roku shares, at least a moment ago when I looked, they were up a bit.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Take a look at Walmart.
No problem.
I mean, one read on it from Morgan Stanley's analyst who covers it is that it's all about advertising. Walmart's the largest retailer, of course, in the U.S. We know that. But it has purchase data on what they say is, you know, roughly 90% of households, at least to some extent.
Yeah.
And so ownership of a distribution platform, remember, these are all connected TVs these days, of course, could help it grow its advertising business. And they're talking about $3.5 billion in revenue this year, or excuse me, last year, could be as much as $6 billion by 2025. Now, for a company like Walmart, that's still an incredibly low number in terms of revenues, but those are high margin revenues, as we know from Amazon, when it comes to advertising.
Yes.
And, you know, that can help drive some earnings growth. Potentially.
Now, but you would turn it on and you would be able to see Walmart.
You'd get Walmart Plus, and you'd probably be connected in there, not to mention, obviously, they get to see your behavior in other ways and share that data with their advertisers.
Right. Well, I don't know about your Walmart, David, but my two Walmarts, when you walked in before the Super Bowl, the deals on big screen TVs reminded you of, it's like buying a 25-inch Sony from Best Buy right now. I mean, there's a 65-inch. Walmart offers such incredible value on TVs that I would be shaking if they bought Vizio. I mean, they're like $240 for a 60-inch screen TV.
To the extent that it's really about leveraging their advertising business.
It's going to be very
powerful.
So
it becomes like a razor. I mean, they'll sell you the razor for nothing.
Well, like right now, I turn my TV on, Carl, and I go to it sends me to Samsung. I've never clicked on that thing, ever, and never will.
Mine comes up every time.
Samsung?
Samsung TV comes up.
That's
what I
want.
And it's all these procedurals with all these actors, you know, and I'm... But I never watch them.
They need money, the actors.
So I can't figure out how to get rid of it.
I know, but you start. I can't either, and it drives me crazy. It's like I say to my kids, "What? First, it sends me to a piece of art.
It never left.
I have like a painting. It sends me to a painting, which I really don't want. Right now, I got a painting of the Adirondacks. I think it's Rocky Peak Ridge.
It's like forensic experts. They're always
And then I go to Samsung and I say, "Well, this is worse than this is like a fire cop show.
Where do these?
I mean, what is it?
Who's paying for those? Samsung? I got to understand the economic model behind Samsung TV.
You know what
shows.
They probably do? I'll tell you what they do with Samsung today. They're probably saying, what's the economic model? Like the top brass. Anybody know what the economic model is?
Listen, I'm
glad we made America know who we are.
It's employing actors, so that's good.
Interesting, Jim. Speaking of Walmart, Evercore today, tactical underperform.
For Target!
We see potential near-term downside due to what we believe is likely to be conservative guide tone on the consumer.
What heresy.
On February 20th.
I think that they're loath to be able to say the consumer's not doing well. 3% yield, 17 times earnings.
Really? Even after McDonald's or others say
North
America?
Well, that's a very good point, McDonald's. But, you know, I think that people are turning against, they don't regard healthy food at any value. And I say that because when you talk to Jack Hartung at Chipotle or Brian Nichol at Chipotle, they'll say, listen, the $40,000 a year customer is buying the same thing as the $150,000 a year customer. At McDonald's, I don't know how much. You know, Burger King, by the way, had really good numbers. They really good. Patrick Doyle was on last night. They had the best growth in burgers. David, Burger King's back.
Burger King is back.
Yes.
Huh? Really?
Because they did this refuel the flame.
No, they've gone anywhere.
I said that to Patrick Doyle, too.
Did you?
I said, are you telling me this is like when you first took over Domino's? I had breakfast with him. Before the campaign, and he goes, you know, Jim, I'm thinking about doing this campaign, which says that Domino's tastes like shirt cardboard. I said, geez, I don't know how well that'll go over. He said, why don't you watch it? It was the most brilliant campaign ever, right? I said, listen, you know, we are losing the shirt cardboard, and corrugated tastes better than our banana peppers, you know? And then, boom, best performing stock of the generation.
Well, as we think about the consumer health, this piece in the Journal, Jim, about auto insurance and how transitions to delinquencies on auto insurance annualized is the highest in 13 years. Oh, I mean, we saw this in the CPI yesterday.
Why stop with auto insurance? I mean, every kind of insurance is so high. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen, if you try to get a health care policy and you're an individual a self-proprietor, I mean, your entire profit and goes to it, and you've got a $500,000 deductible.
And now you got the tax refunds are coming in light. Fewer refunds, lower refunds, fewer filings year on year so
Biden
far. It's only a couple weeks in.
Biden better send us a $1,000 check, Dave, before this election.
Excuse me?
Biden better send each person a $1,000 check before the election. So, and someone else did that. It's novel.
It's an idea.
It's an idea.
Or you could just own NVIDIA.
Thank you.
That's a wealth creator
Thank
as well.
Thank you.
NVIDIA, our usual check on it, up 1.5%.
Versus what? The company that Bezos sells $2 billion every night?
Well, I would make the point it continues to move up the market capitalization.
It's because Jensen's not selling $2 billion every night.
It is now $1.8 trillion. It has passed, as we pointed out, Amazon, in part because Amazon shares have not moved up as much of late. And it is approaching Alphabet's market value. It's only about $20 billion away. You can make that up in a matter of minutes. NVIDIA.
What has Alphabet done for me lately?
Moving into the top, let's call it three, right?
Well, what's Alphabet done? That last quarter.
Alphabet is up 4.4% for the year.
Oh, Waymo.
Yeah.
Go Waymo. Go Waymo yourself, David.
Is Alphabet going to surprise us with its cost discipline at some point, or going to truly lose its grip on search? Which way is it going to go
here?
They're
doing a year of inefficiency, apparently. The year of living safely and fat. Neil Gibson, Linda Hunt.
Yeah, Linda Hunt.
Year of living dangerously.
Dangerously.
I mean,
is that Linda Hunt?
Linda Hunt.
Linda Hunt.
Not recognized as one of the great.
She
movies.
Oscar nom for her.
And, fantastic.
Yeah, and Mel Gibson.
Well, they were not living. Google is not living dangerously. They're living safe and happy.
I'd say they are living dangerously.
Well, they are, in terms of their stock. Google Cloud had a great number, and everything else was so convoluted, you didn't even notice that they had a great number. Well, David, Toyota Motors down. That's the first time that's happened in ages. There's the stock.
Oh, that's Jim, by the way, looking at the tape, which is what he does nonstop.
Well, it's kind
you
of
go
my,
see Jim up in his office.
I like to look
He's
at
just
the
looking
tape.
Past you at the tape.
What I love is I waking up at 5 and seeing a tweet from him an hour before.
Yeah. Well, I was late that day. I was late this morning. The other day, I had one at 3:15. That was much better.
Toyota's had a great run, though, in part because, as we've said many times, in the strength of hybrids. Did you guys read the journal story? Encapsulating much of what we've discussed.
How quickly they charge?
In terms of the changing demand for EVs. And what's gone on there? I mean, your friend Jim Farley, in terms of reacting to it.
Look at you first.
Don't hear
Jim
you talking
Farley,
about the
friend.
F-150 Lightning as much as you once did.
Well, because you see, it's not doing as well. What do you want me to say?
Yes, that's exactly what I want you to say.
Because there's a lot of inventory.
Thank you.
But yeah, and I can blow up my friendship anytime I want, okay?
Exactly. There's actually some global EV data today. Month on month, Jim, January down 26. Well, and that's a lot of subsidy cuts in Germany, France.
Yes.
Not to mention Chinese New Year, China weakness.
Right. And BYD, how many can Mexico buy? 33% of Mexico is EV from China. Here's what I think is going to happen.
It's going to be even more. It's going to be even more.
There's a 55,000 person Puebla VW factory.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Tell us, what do you think is going to happen? You were just going to say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so let's say you get a gigantic, tectonic, critical election where the Democrats win. There will be a governor who says, okay, we're not having any hydrocarbons in our cars by 2029. And
Who's
then that's
do
it.
That? California's already, come on. California's, where are they? Anybody? 2035?
Yeah, but I'm saying they got to do it.
I don't know.
No, I'm saying they'll do some radical thing, and then that'll be in. That's it. Then that's it. Everyone's going to have to go EV. I'm saying this is a tectonic shift election. If that happens, then I think that there's going to be states that say, look, you got to go buy a new car.
Really? If you don't have a charging infrastructure and you're basically subjugating everybody to not having enough power for their cars.
Have you seen the taxes in California? Do you think that they're not afraid to do something radical?
And They've already done something somewhat radical.
Nobody leaves.
Well, they do leave.
Where?
They go to Texas.
They stop.
They leave.
You look at Eaton. That's a subsidy for Eaton. One of my favorite
California's amazing. It's got 40 billion people. It's still the world's...
It's the fifth largest economy in the world. I'm positing that if you have a green election in our country, that there could be some states that make it so that they're the ones who decide.
Do you think New York 3 last night suggests that's in the offing?
That was interesting. By the way,
Morgan Stanley Jonas note today, just back from easily the most bearish of our Tesla bull bear lunches.
Didn't you love that?
Some doubt sales grow at all this year. Most see consensus falling and AI, quote, off the table for now.
I love
doesn't
that.
Doesn't sound
piece.
Good at all, does it?
Tesla versus Magnificent Six. Reiterates overweight.
Right. Well, that's just clients basically showing up who are all negative or talking, you know. And
have you noticed the stock of Tesla stopped going down?
Most hedge fund managers, and they stock, know nothing.
Tesla's not going down anymore.
No,
Tesla's
not going to stabilize.
I think that, I think the fanboys are going to buy the Cybertruck, but I think the Tesla's next generation is going to be coming. It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge. I think the last thing we had was Steve Scherz talking about how it didn't work for Hertz. But the next generation could be huge. We need to. If we can get 10-minute charging stations.
Is it going to be able to compete effectively with BYD in markets other than the U.S.?
I think BYD,
because obviously that will not be
allowed
here,
most
likely.
I think BYD is scary how inexpensive it is. But then again, the PRC is trying to put people to work.
Well, it's not just the inexpensive. Apparently, it's a fairly high level.
It's a good car.
Of automobile.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing.
That's
over
Buffett,
and over.
Right? Buffett's.
Yeah. It was, right?
It was, yeah.
I'm hearing great things about it, but we're not going to let it. No. Neither president. Look, we have a union president, right? The guy who walked the picket line against Ford. He's not going to let China come in. And then we have Trump basically saying, listen, we have a $500 billion business with China. That goes to zero. Zero, because the 60% tariff would go to zero.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye. Obviously, as Jim has pointed out, the election's getting folded into markets by the day. Dow up 63 here, back to 4980. Watch bonds, as we said, pretty much a data-free day. But these Goolsbee headlines a moment ago were interesting, and we'll wait for Barr this afternoon, Waller tomorrow. We're back in a minute. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Okay, so one of the things that's been quietly happening is GE just keeps going higher. Mostly it's been because of engines for aircraft. But today, GE's Vernova, which is about to be spun off, which is the energy business, and it's a lot of green energy, they just got approved. GE's nuclear fuel business receives regulatory approval to manufacture higher enrichment fuel. People just love anything involving, small reactors, anything involving any way to be able to make nuclear fuel work and the nuclear industry work. And my hat is really off to Larry Culp. I mean, he did, my travels are since GE Healthcare. It's been a rocket lately. And now this Vernova is going to work. And I just think he really has the zeitgeist. And it's not just for show.
I wonder what you think it says about the industrial cycle, Jim, on a time where we're getting some hotter numbers out of South Korea manufacturing and stuff like that.
Well, I think that there's a huge secular story to travel. By the way, I didn't think Marriott was nearly that bad. Yesterday, they just gave this one little bit of what they thought could happen, but it's more financing than it is travel, and travel was hit. But I think that this is a great they're riding every secular wave, Jim.
Yep.
And Culp did that, and you know, he doesn't get talked about much, and that reason is because he's just not seeking any publicity whatsoever at this time.
You are going to talk to Chuck tonight?
Yeah, but I want Cisco. I know Cisco last time said, look, this next quarter may not be that good either. I'm hoping, obviously, because as David knows, these people are all my friends, and I want Chuck to deliver a good number.
I know you do. You're rooting for him.
And then Generac. I got a Generac because the power is so bad at my place, and it's a financing company, and we'll see how they've been doing. The Generac trades, by the way, with solar. Trades with First Solar. It trades with the young person's favorite stock, which is Enphase Energy.
Enphase.
But, yeah, when I get stopped in the street, it used to be Tesla. Now it's, hey, what do you think of Enphase?
Yes.
How about Enphase? Yeah, Enphase. Solar.
Financing I like as well is an important part of that business.
I'm liking
financing.
Tesla here, holding in at 280.
It is?
Yeah, but I have to tell you, I wait all day for Jonas. Whatever Jonas writes, he's kind of like when Charles Dickens would put out those, weekly.
NVIDIA quotes. And Alphabet are like this now in market cap.
Alphabet. What has Alphabet done for you lately, Waymo?
Jim, we'll see you tonight. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Cisco will be interesting. We'll get to more of the big earnings movers in a moment. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.